session number 17620, James Watt's Reel 16.
Mr. Watt's Reel 16. These Cossacks,
yes.
did they expect to be going back to be killed? What was their attitude?
I think that was definitely evident.
How did the troops take to it, rounding up these people and they...
We didn't particularly like it, but we did it, because it was our duty to do it. Whilst I was at Brigade Headquarters, we had the POW camp, the German POW camp at Wolfsburg, and it housed, I think, about 250,000 to 300,000 troops. And my brigadier, TBL Churchill, who was keeping his eye on the Yugoslav frontier, he asked me to get some maps of the frontier for his wall and show the different dispositions of the brigade in itself. And then later he asked, could he have a cartographical model of the frontier? And I said, well, I think I know how to get about it. I said, but I'll need some LSD for to see to it. So I went down to the POW camp and I picked out two full colonels in the Wehrmacht and explained what I wanted to do. And they said they'll be only too happy to oblige. All they needed was some shekels. So I gave them 10 fags each, packed the 10 fags each, but to keep them happy. And from then on, I watched the Yugoslav frontier being made with maps, contours of 50 feet, made of plywood, and the whole lot was emerging, this mountain range and where the different places were. And he said, we'll do this within a week. He said, we'll have it all plastered and trees on and everything will be done. And it would begin to look great. And it came like a bombshell when the brigadier came into my office and said, you've got to abandon this project of the model, he said. The division's going into suspended animation.
Okay, before that happens, you have this big German prisoner of war camp.
Yes.
Presumably in your area.
Yes.
Were there any searches going on that, to your knowledge, or to discover war criminals amongst the SS?
Oh, yes. But that was...
But you weren't involved in that?
That was Army Field Intelligence.
You weren't involved in it?
Field Marshal Kesselring, of course, was in the bag, you know.
Your unit was... Gardenese,
the frontier.
Cossacks,
the frontier. No, they were. We rounded them up and passed them on, and I think they went into Styria and then, of course, into the Russian zone. But most of our troops were on the Yugoslav frontier.
Did you get involved at all with the Croats and the Titoites?
No. All we were concerned with to prevent people coming into Austria from Yugoslavia.
And was that a problem?
And sending people out of Austria into Yugoslavia. Because I had a man stay with me for a while, a Yugoslav, who was being returned to Austria and didn't want to. He taught me how to play chess. And Vladimir Puda, they called him. And he was petrified at the thought. And one day he was gone, and I never heard or saw anything more about him. Don't know what happened.
Were displaced persons a problem?
Yes, quite a lot. Men, women, and children, you know. It was quite a headache. We had quite a job keeping law and order in there. And that happened until the time I left.
Do you recall any particular outbreaks of disorder?
No. Not really. No, I can't. It'll be recorded anywhere that it is, because one of the jobs, you know, of the Brigade Intelligence is to send situation reports to division, which go to army, which go to war office. And I used to normally fill in the sit reps by putting on the end, "It remains quiet." Well, I was fed up with putting "It remains quiet" on, so I put on "A quiet remains." And I was reprimanded by the intelligence officer, who didn't know anything about grammar. He said, "You can't put that." I said, "Quiet means quiet, and a quiet means quiet. One's a noun and one's a verb, and you can put whichever way you put it, it's the same message." He said, "Well, I'm not putting it on." He crossed it off. So, next time the sit rep went in, which was a weekly occurrence, he wasn't there, and I put on "A quiet remains," and I passed it to the brigade major. He says, "Oh, I'll sign that." He said, "Oh, that's a change," he said. And then I noticed that copies of situation reports from various brigades throughout the whole of the British Army, including Burma, where nothing was happening, just said, "A quiet remains."
What happened to you when the division was suspended?
I was sent to a big transit camp. You know, troops were going home, you see. I'd been given me notification that I would be going home. And I was sent to the Army Education Corps. And they asked me if I would like to sign on. I said, "No, there's only one thing I want to sign on. There's only one thing I want to join," I said, "civilians." I said, "I wouldn't join two pieces of string, let alone." On reflection, I think I should have joined the Army Education Corps.
How long were you with them?
Oh, a month. I was discharged. I left for home in October 1946 on 97 days leave. This was to make up for the leave I hadn't had and me demobilizing, of course.
When you got home, did you find it difficult settling into a...
It was strange. I left the railway station at Sunderland at 6 o'clock in the morning. And as I emerged from the station, the clock chimed. And that's one of the saddest moments in my life, was when they pulled the old town hall and the clock still isn't with us. And I walked home with all my gear, what I was allowed to bring home. And roused the family, and it was just as if I'd been down the road having a down the pub or somewhere, you know, that was it.
No flags and bunting for you?
No. The town of Sunderland didn't do me any favours at all. They sent me nothing, I got nothing from them, but apparently, according to my wife, there was plenty of money collected for the troops, but very few of my friends got anything. Pet pals I know.
After you leave, was that straight to Demob?
That's it.
And where were you Demob from?
Guildford. Yes, I remember quite clearly.
What was the process?
Oh, in and out, and the doctor examining and says, "Nothing wrong with you." I says, "No," he just signs it, and that's it.
Then your clothing and...
Oh, yes, I got me Demob suit and me trilby hat and me shoes and what have you, and it was a good suit as well. That's one thing I was always lucky at. I think with being small, I got good battle dress. The best battle dress I had was one I got supplied with in Italy. The Americans had made it.
Did you get gratuities?
Yes.
Piled up for you?
I got my gratuity.
How much was it?
£196. Now, I didn't think it was much, you know. But do you know how much the CIG is, Scott? You only got 311.
For the war, yes. The
chief of the Imperial General Staff got Lord Allenbrook. It's in his memoirs. And I've got 196. Of course, that's back pay and demob and what have you. And about 9 years later, I only had to put £100-odd of that, and I bought me house. So, you know, it was worth something, £190-odd.